Okay. I'm going to try and make this short because, you know, it's been quite a session. So, and I was just going to say exactly the same as you as I read that this morning, you know, just now. Show me how to love like you have loved me and break my heart for what breaks yours. You know, everything that's gone on this morning about breaking chains and allowing God to work in our lives is for purpose. It's not so we feel good. It's not so that we come to church and can maybe pray a bit better or worship a bit better. It's for purpose. Because we are the hands of God on earth. We are the people God is going to use to bring about his kingdom. And how are we going to do that? And about 2 months ago, when we first started meeting to really pray about what the church direction was going to be, and I really took that quite seriously and spent a lot of time praying, I got a picture. And it kept coming into my head, and it would not go away. So about 6 weeks ago, I said to Nikki, I've been praying about this thing, and I've got a picture. And it doesn't mean anything to me at all. And it was of a house. It was of a house. Now, since then, other things have happened about a house. First of all, Dave sent me a Paul Scanlon sermon on the 6 missing rooms in the church, in God's house. And it were brilliant. He had me in hysterics, but it was funny if you really want to listen to that. And there were all the areas of the church that the church was missing. Some of those we definitely are not missing. One of them is welcome, and that's brilliant. But he picked out 6 rooms. I'm not going to go through them. But basically, he was saying the church needs space, opportunity to minister to people, to listen to people, to be available to people, to give them fun as well as serious stuff, you know, to create places where they can enjoy themselves, create places where they can relax. And I'm thinking, we can't do that on a Sunday. That is impossible to do all those different things if you want to listen to that. Then at the family time last week, Richard Penske shared about the church looking and praying about the in hope thing about a home, not a house. And I'm thinking, oh, that's another thing about us as a church being committed to that. So this is all confirmation to me that my picture of a house was not up a gum tree because I actually couldn't imagine what it was about. And thinking about it, the church did not meet in buildings until the 3rd century. Apparently, they started building buildings in the 3rd century, but old Diocletian, who was some nutty emperor, destroyed them all. It wasn't until Constantine was actually converted in the 4th century, is that right, John, 4th century? You'll know that, guys. That churches, as we know them today, were built. So for 300 and odd years, the church existed without a church building. Okay? So how did they function? How did they function? They met in homes. They met in homes. Their whole evangelistic and love and care for the community took place in their homes. Now, because of COVID, what's happened is that some of us have pulled the drawbridge up, because it's actually quite nice at COVID. You could spend time with your family and it was all nice and sweet, and there were things that you could mend and get better at in relationships. But now the drawbridge is down, and I have a picture of a drawbridge coming down, and we have to reconsider that God can use our homes more, and I don't mean this unkindly, more than he can use the church building on a Sunday. Okay. But that's not in any way trying to decry what happens here, because it's brilliant. Because what's happened here today is God's preparation. And all the time we have ministry, all the time we talk about breaking chains, all the time we talk about needing to change, it's for purpose. And that purpose is that we can use our homes to welcome people with the gifting that God has given us. And all our gifting is different. Some people are better at it than others. Some people have particular gifts in certain areas. Now, I'm not some great cordon bleu cook. I don't intend. I just can't do it. But I can make a shepherd's pie. There's all sorts of other things that I can do. And I want us to really emphasize that, because this is a fantastic opportunity for us. And I think we've lost the gifting of hospitality. I don't mean it in the sense of having a wonderful table with all the right stuff and beautiful flower arrangement. I'm not talking about that at all, because that is a burden for me, and I'm sure it's a burden for a lot of us. I'm just talking about being available. Just being available. We met a couple, there's two people I want to compare. Mick and Margaret Foster were friends of ours who were Bible translators who went to New Guinea. And for the first 2 years of their lives, they lived in a hut. With the door permanently open, day and night. Because the village people needed to observe their lifestyle. They had to live that exposed 24/7. Can you imagine that? I mean, that puts pressure on any couple. But they did it. I'm not asking us to do that. But I think there's a principle there, you know. We are more authentic. Just listen to this. I really believe this. We are more authentic in our home than we are in church. That's where we live our life out. And we should not be frightened to share that life with anybody. Okay. The other couple were a couple that we housed from Canada that came over, Christian couple. And the church that I was in, we got them the house, and we started decorating it for them. And when John and I were there at 9 o'clock in the morning with our paintbrushes, by 11, John's thinking, oh, time for a cup of tea. No tea arrived. Painting again for another hour, and in the end, in his frustration, Margaret, put the kettle on. Oh, okay. Well, when it all came to at a group meeting afterwards, we were talking about gifting. Now, we've all done this. We've all been through these things. What is your gifting? And then you come out with, you know, it's this, that, or the other. That doesn't mean to say we cut out everything else. They've been on a course in Canada, what is your gifting? And I can't remember what their gifting was, but it certainly wasn't hospitality. So they then thought, now we don't have to be hospitable because it's not my gift. That is absurd. Hospitality is a requirement of us all. It is not it's not something you decide to do as an option. It's absolutely essential. So when we talk about church without walls, I'm talking about a house without walls. And when I put a title to this, I put homes under the hammer. Okay. Who's going to benefit? First of all, we have to begin with our own church family. Singles. People that are really having a hard time. I think it's really important that we look out for that as a church. We don't let people slip through because we haven't got the time to invite them for a cup of tea or a phone call or something. Now, this is all through the Bible. It's not just me saying this. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's so many different examples and calls to generosity. Make your face visible. And it's described in James as true religion. So single people, both in and outside the church, those who feel lonely and left out, those with non-Christian partners can still offer hospitality to their friends and neighbours, but I think initially it's the church's duty, if I can use that word in the a softer sense of the word, to take care of those within our community. But our homes are God's vehicle for evangelism. This is as true today as in the first century. We have so many resources at our disposal, and we need to be alert to the needs around us. So I've got a few practical suggestions. Always be on the lookout for loners and strugglers. Prepare extra food on a Sunday to invite people back. See your home not as yours, but God's provision for you to love others and share life. Create an atmosphere of peace and love. Listen to people without judgment. Accept those whose lifestyle you may disagree with. A big one for us was when we were doing Airbnb. We had to sign a contract to say that we would accept gay couples. And if we didn't, we wouldn't be able to do Airbnb. I think one of John's best mornings was talking to two girls who were in a partnership, who stayed with us. And, you know, that's all I'm going to say. Listen to people without judgment. Accept those lifestyles you may disagree with, but remember God loves them too. And just to finish off, be thankful every day you have a home and a place of safety. And remember those millions of refugees in the world who have nothing.
Thanks, Pauline. I will be also very quick. So I'm coming from a slightly different angle. You'll have heard me harping on over the last few years about Bristol Church's Winter Night Shelter. And that's a different sort of hospitality, which is completely outside of ourselves and outside of our homes and outside of our church buildings. Let me just read this scripture to you from Matthew 25, 35 to 40 in the NIV. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Okay, if I hold that like that, that's better. So as most of you know, a few of us from here, from New Life Church, have been part of the work of Bristol Church's Night Shelter for a number of years. I'm going to give you a bit of history. A whole group of us started with a pilot back in 2017, and it just ran for 1 month. The format of the shelter then was that several churches were allocated one evening a week to provide a hot meal and hospitality. And they had bed and breakfast for up to 12 guests that would otherwise be on the streets. We worked on the Thursday evening, for those who were involved. We worked on the Thursday evening at St. Nicholas of Tolentino in Bristol, in the centre of Bristol. And hand on heart, for me, it was just the best thing I've been part of for such a long time. The conversations with the homeless guys were amazing. They were so grateful. I truly felt humbled and blessed to be there, to be part of the team. So the following 3 years, the shelter took on the same provision, meeting in church buildings for a period of 3 months at a time. So we'd increase from the month to 3 months because there was a need. It was through the winter months. The main disadvantage of this model was that the guests basically at 8:30 in the morning got kicked out with all their belongings for the day and went around the city with nowhere warm to go or get a cup of tea and stuff. And then they would go to a different church the next night at 7 p.m. ready for their hot meal and a bed for the night. So then 2020 hit during COVID. So we were carrying out that what's the word I'm looking for? Model. Sorry. So we were doing that model, and then COVID hit. We had to put some super strong restrictions in place to make sure everyone was safe, the guests included. And in the end, many of you may know, all the guests were moved into hotels and hostels in the centre of Bristol, as were all the homeless people from within Bristol. They were basically taken off the streets and given a hotel room until later that year. So let's roll forward to January 21. Shelter took on a different role, a different look and a different feel. We hired a bed and breakfast in South Bristol, where there was, again, there was a breakfast team, a lunchtime team, where we provided the lunch, packed lunches for them, and an evening team where we served and served the guests meals. And again, they had a bed for the night. It was a difficult year because you were only allowed 6 people in the room, so you didn't have the same rapport as you did when we were all meeting in churches. I mean, when we used to go down to E5, we were like a team of 10 of us with the guests, whereas here you were limited to just 2 or 3 people with the guests. The advantage for the guests, of course, is that they had somewhere to stay in the day. So they were warm and dry in the daytime. They could stay in their rooms all day. And most of them have en suites. So again, because of COVID, we had to put that provision in. And so they were safe. So last year, we used the same model, but we extended it to 5 months because there is a need. And that runs from the beginning of November to the end of March. Again, a bed and breakfast that we hire for the whole time, and we serve lunchtime team, and Rich and I went in every Tuesday to cover the lunchtime team. And as a church, we provided meals for the Wednesday. We took them down each Wednesday during the day. And then some of us were on a backup rota, and we stood in where we could, and some of us did Christmas shifts. Since the start of Bristol Church's winter night shelter in 2017, we've seen 144 guests pass through the doors. Now, you may not think that's a lot, but when we were meeting in the churches, we were only allowed to accommodate up to 12 guests each time. When we're in the bed and breakfast, we could only have 8 guests because that's all the provision that we had. So actually 144 is quite a lot over that period of time. We've seen many have used the shelter as a means to give them a base so that they could get secure work, which then would eventually lead them to securing their own accommodation. It's a safe place for a period of time. Some stayed for a few weeks, some a few days, some stayed for the whole 5 months. Over the years, there have been those who have needed to return to us for various reasons because they haven't quite found their place yet. But does that mean we don't welcome them? Absolutely not. We still welcome them. We do exactly what that scripture says. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Thank you. So there's some copies of the impact report if anybody wants to take them away. And it gives you a bit more detail about what happens at the night shelter and what's been going on. So why am I telling you all of this? Obviously, it follows on really well from Pauline, and we need that, you know, that song, Dave, when you picked out that point. That is exactly it. We need to know what's on God's heart. And you probably understand that for me, I'm passionate about this. And yes, I've got home and I love to be hospitable. I mean, at the moment I have a house full, so and my door is always open. Not quite the same as your friends where it's literally open, but it's never locked, so anybody is welcome. But I'm passionate about this. It's because we're about to embark on another year from the 1st of November for a further 5 months. There's a number of church groups already committed to serving once again. And in faith, I've committed New Life Church to serve on a Thursday, lunchtime and evening, just during phase one, which is 1st of November to the 19th of December. So that will include us providing lunch, packed lunches on a Thursday lunchtime and having a team there, and the same in the evening, providing meals and a team there. This time we'll be having 9 guests. The lady who owns the guest house has converted one of the offices into another room so we can take an extra guest, which is amazing. And they'll be assessed through St Mungo's, and they'll be offered a place with us at the B&B for as many days or weeks as they need. It's an opportunity for them to have a safe base with hot food, hot water. Most have their own suite, friendly faces to make them feel welcome. And a lot of these guys do work. But if they haven't been working, it doesn't mean they can get a job, because they're not thinking about where they're going to be sleeping that night, because they have a bed and they have hot food. So where do we come in? So don't switch off at this point, please, because this is where you come in. There's so many ways we can get involved as a church, in much the same way we have in the past, but the church isn't Rich and I. A church is you and the people, and this is where you come in. So we need to be praying for the whole scheme. We need to be praying for the guests who are assessed and that they're the right ones to join the scheme. We need to be praying for the guests that they'll feel comfortable and welcome and cared for, and that they can build up a good rapport with the volunteers. We need to pray for the coordinator, Amanda, and her deputy as they pull everything together. It's quite an onerous task. I have been part of that team for the past 5 years. We need to pray and ask if we should be stepping up to a role in this year's scheme. Now, you might feel, well, I can't do it. I can't go down there. It's not me to go and mix with the guests. But there is a role. There's other roles. They're background roles. Apart from what I've just said about praying, they need somebody who cleans on a Monday morning, 2 hours cleaning Monday morning for however many weeks somebody can do it. We'll also need to be providing 11 meals to be cooked and labelled, ready to be taken each Thursday for the evening shift, and also somebody to make the lunches for the Thursday shift at lunchtime. In addition, we're going to need a team of volunteers to sign up, looking for 2 to 3 volunteers each lunchtime and 2 to 3 in the evening. Some can do it for 6 weeks. Some might only be able to do 1 week. Their preference is a couple of weeks. The night shelter coordinators prefer a couple of weeks just so the guests get used to you. But if anybody wants to join us and you can only do 1 week for the experience, then yeah, that's good. There'll also be opportunity for individuals or teams to sign up to cover the Christmas period, so 2 weeks leading up to Christmas and the week after Christmas. So when I've worked these evenings over the years, I've always come away feeling really blessed. I think I go there to bless people, but it's usually the other way around. I'm the one that comes away and feels blessed. So what next? Well, I want to challenge you that if you feel you would like to be able to volunteer in any way this year, then come and talk to me. I need to get signed up by next weekend. If you can't make the decision in that week, that's fine. But if it's really on your heart, come and talk to me. If you already know that you want to sign up, definitely come and talk to me so I can get that organised. Or if you want to know more about it and you want to commit to something, whether it's praying, whether it's working there, whether it's cooking meals, whatever it is, come and talk to me, please. Rich and I are already signed up. I'm fully ready to cover all 6 weeks if necessary. And we're willing to do that. We're prepared to do that. But what a blessing it would be if there were others who could come along and serve with us in this way. Believe me, you'll be more blessed than they will, because it's such a humbling thing to be there. And these guys, like Pauline said, we're thankful that we've got a home. These guys, most of them, haven't got their own home. And what a way we can bless them for just 6 weeks of their lives and our lives.